Hello, I'm Laurie Damori.
And I'm Laura Jackson, and together we run Towpath, four little kiosks, a kitchen, a bar, a seated area, and our larder, which together make up our restaurant, alongside Regent's Canal, deep in East London. This is our 11th year running Towpath. Obviously, this year has been quite different to the previous 10, but it's been an amazing time because we wrote a cookbook which was released in October, and it's filled with lots of beautiful recipes and has given us a chance for people to recreate Towpath when they're not able to be here.
We've had a lot more time to talk to each other than we usually do, Laura and I. Look at where we've been and where we've gone and reminisce about stories and all the really incredible people that we've gotten to meet because of Towpath. And so welcome to our Towpath world in audio form. In this series, you're going to hear an ongoing conversation between Laura and I. And in each episode, one of us will speak to someone very special who is somehow connected to our Towpath world. Laura and I have recorded these conversations in the third kiosk where we rarely get to sit with each other. And you might hear right now, in fact, some pounding of footsteps as joggers come by and the coots squawk and cyclists go by. There's no really stopping Towpath traffic, and we are doing our thing in the middle of it all. This is so far the last and final part of the ongoing conversation that Laura and I have had in this podcast. This is the episode where we get to talk about how much we love each other, which could be cringy, but it's the truth. I sometimes think we just couldn't do what we do if we weren't in such sync with each other and if there wasn't kind of so much trust. Because our skills are so different and what we do is so different. I don't know, I haven't been in other partnerships with other people, but we didn't start out as like official legal partners. We started out as two people trying this experiment. I was officially the boss and you were officially the employee, but it never really was like that.
No, it never felt like that. And I've worked in a lot of other restaurants and worked for people. So I've never sort of run my own thing, but it very much felt like the involvement from the beginning was I was involved with all the decisions as much as you were. I didn't have to really think about it. It was like, yes, because it already felt like that.
I agree. It was actually like we were de facto partners, and then at some point we, you know, sort of married each other and legalized that. And it's so, I mean, from my perspective, it's just was so incredible to have, like, in all the different ways that Towpath grew organically, the fact of us really becoming a partnership that in my mind it's like exactly what you dream of, which is that you're partners with someone because you so appreciate what they bring to it and you feel appreciated by them with what you bring to it. And there's so much leaning on each other and taking the weight from each other and carrying the really hard things together. It just makes it vastly more interesting. I always think of what a nightmare it would feel like if I was just by myself trying to puzzle it all out.
I'm gonna have a broth to finish.
Do you remember at the very beginning we had this thought that, like, in the best possible world, we'd all be able to do everything? And it's funny because to me that's such a good example of how a thought seems really rational and like a great idea. And I could say it right now and still feel like, yep, everyone should be able to do everything. And then as soon as we got out there, it's like, yeah, but you're great at that and I'm shit at that. And, you know, we all have different talents. And actually, it's even like discovering what those talents are and then taking inspiration from each other, but also saying, like, I'm going to step back. Because this is clearly your domain, and thank God it is. I feel so much like, for me, in a good partnership, it needs to be very organic. You need to be kind of setting aspirations and then seeing what actually works.
Using people for their specific potentials and what they're good at is actually a really positive thing. Doing the role reversal now and what Towpath would look like if it was the other way around. permanently. Me behind the bar, you in the kitchen. I don't think we'd have very many customers.
Be a disaster,
but that would be because of me. You wouldn't even get to Laurie's food because I would have offended the customer and they would have
left. They would have never ordered.
So, but, you know, on busy days, we wish that we could just do that to maybe slow down the pace of things.
In the beginning, I would not have necessarily wanted to work for me. I think I was nice and I was friendly and I wanted people to be happy, but I didn't really know what I was doing. And so I think there was an element of that scary thing of, you know, like someone's driving the bus kind of fast and you're not really sure that they know what they're doing. And it feels like over the years, we actually have learned a bit about how to do this.
For me personally, it was the kind of delegation and giving other people responsibility. In the first few years, I wasn't willing to do that. And I think as a result, it wasn't the best thing, because you really want to encourage your staff and give them responsibility, because that's where people thrive and that's where you form a really good, close, well-working community within the community. I still think we had a great time, but I almost, when I look back to the first few years, I almost wish I could call up some of my staff members and be like, if I was a bit short and scary and stressed, like, I'm really sorry, I'm not like that now, which is obviously easy to say now. They're probably like, yeah, sure. But I genuinely believe the way that I run the place is much better now.
Thank God we're like all of us learning the whole time we do anything, because what would the fun be otherwise, you know? We've had so many near disasters over the years. I think anyone who's in this business has. And I remember in particular when we were doing that party for our friends Christopher and Peter, and you made these beautiful like lamb tagine, and I remember that we were bringing all the big platters to the table when it dawned on me that we had no plates, because there was this whole division of labor between who was going to bring what, but them and us. And the incredible thing is that it was entirely my fault, in that it would have been my responsibility to make sure the plates were there. And I never for one iota got a sense of you being like, what the fuck? Oh my God.
I'm sure you did. Because you would be setting the table. So you would think, you would notice if the main course dinner plate was missing. But what I've learned from you is that this was the situation. We didn't have the plates. There was no point at that time having a go at whoever or pointing fingers towards someone.
You know, I think where you learn like the difference between never falling off the tightrope, like we never make mistakes, or like, oh my God, we're just going to continually make them. And the joy is in like figuring out how we can do it. And we know at Towpath, like pointing your finger at somebody or saying, if anybody goes like, it wasn't me, it's not a good way to make friends.
We essentially had and still have no business plan. There was nothing written down. There wasn't anything. I mean, we obviously excitedly discussed what we wanted to do, but, you know, we talk about it a lot. It's a very, very kind of organic evolution of, let's see what things work. Let's try and not do too many different things at once and see how it goes. Which I would say to people either setting up a business or people doing a business, that is unheard of. Because for so many different reasons, if you have investors and, you know, you've got a huge space and you've got loads of staff, it has to be much more regimented. And you know, I don't think that we're driven by money, because we're very lucky in that we don't have crazy overheads, whereas I think the majority of people are. And so that, in a sense, makes things very different and unique to our situation.
I feel like I would really encourage people to get into partnerships with each other if it's the right match, because it's so enriching. I definitely think there's so much more than I'm getting out of this by not doing it by myself, and that it's just so interesting, like if you're passionate about what you're doing, to have that other person to bounce ideas off.
No, and it's interesting because often we'll have very, very different ideas,
but we have so much the same ethos. And I do think that it is that, if like you value the same things.
We always ultimately at the end come to the right decision that we're both happy with. And I think another thing that's so important is communicating with each other and communicating with our staff, because there will be busy days and things will happen, and you know, maybe trying not to speak about it right in the heat of the moment, I've learned, is a good thing, you know, but really important not to be sort of push those things away.
The whole doing of it is interesting for us. Besides what we bring to have whoever comes, it is always interesting to see, like, why didn't that work, or why were we so, like, we were so busy but it was so smooth and easy and fun today, and then, like, we weren't that busy and it was a shit show. What was that about? And just trying to figure out what it is. And we keep growing. I don't want to think that forever I'm not going to be good at certain things. I'm never going to become the chef in the kitchen, but, like, we both have gotten deeper understandings and appreciation. We're more able to help each other out because we have more and more understanding about what the other one is doing. If you don't want to be in partnership with somebody that you think, like, I'm in 100% and so are they, I would really think very carefully about doing it, because it's way too intense and you just, it won't last and it won't be satisfying.
For me, the constant reminder is that I constantly want to spend time with Laurie outside of work. So it's like, I obviously like this person because I want to spend time with her when I'm not at work, and I share things with her that aren't just towpath related. And I, again, I think that's quite a rare thing, and I'm constantly remind myself how lucky I am. And I have so many, you know, friends who say to me, God, like, you're so lucky. I could be lucky in the sense I could have a great relationship as a business partnership and that was it, and that would be great. But I've got the double added bonus that it's a partnership in business and in friendship. And I think that, again, is what brings us even closer with running the business, because we do genuinely get on so well.
See, for me, it's always like the really little things. When I think of the specific anecdotes, it's like, it's a really busy lunch and you know that you've put something on the menu that I absolutely love, like the little crab, deviled crab in Little Gem. And then I'll just get sent this tiny little plate with one on it in the middle of, like, a crazy lunch. And to me, that it's just like Laura's, like, blown me a kiss from the kitchen.
When I think about the future, I very much want to be present in this family. The thought of taking a step back is, and I think for Laurie too, is not something we want to do, which is why when people talk about that we should open another one, is why we have no interest. It's not because we're lazy, it's because the things that we really enjoy are being at the place and being around people and meeting interesting people, and for me, cooking. And you know, that is what fundamentally we love to do. So I mean, I would hope that we can carry on doing this, because we're always thinking about how we could make this better. We can always make it better. Even if we've been open for 11 years, we can always do something to make it better, and it might be so small that no one notices, but we notice. That's the fun for us.
I love towpath. I love to be here doing this. In not doing it for all those months during the period that we would normally do it, I thought, I don't want that to be me. I like that my life is getting up in the morning, coming out here with you, rolling up the shutters and seeing who comes. And I feel like we've had a confirmation about what we value and what we've really missed, which is, like, so simple, you know, being out here with each other and our friends and simple, delicious, companionable, out in the element in a big city, but making it feel actually like a small community. I just, you know, I want more of that. We've been so incredibly lucky with the people. It's funny because I always think, how is it that we're so lucky with the people who come here and work with us? Everyone's so different from each other. But then when I sat there trying to think of, like, what are the qualities that they share? And I think they all share a kind of willingness to be part of a team. Everyone with their particular personality and skill and talent and quirkiness
having worked in, you know, I haven't worked in loads of other restaurants, but I've worked in quite a few. It is a very different atmosphere, and it is everyone mucking in.
That amount of like looking out for each other and people just willing to really go an extra 25 miles is incredible.
I brought my CV in and had some tiramisu whilst I was building up the courage to hand in my CV. And then Laurie said no. And then I came back the next year and she was like, huh, he did it again. All right, fine. You can have the job. My name's Alex. I work front of house at Towpath. I'm mainly on the coffee machine, but we're all running around between different places and helping each other out. I remember on my trial shift, Laurie said I was too relaxed, which, if you know Laurie, is saying quite a bit. A customer said, oh, I haven't seen you here before. So I was my trial. And said, oh, you seem very chilled. And Laurie chimed in and said, a little too chilled if you ask me.
Really?
But ever since then, been out on the canal with them for 4 and a bit years. I quite like getting here early because that beginning part of the day when it's just like the birds, you can make yourself a coffee, barge is going past. That's really nice.
Can I just get the lentils on? The sausages
will be... Oh, why did I choose Enrico to speak to? Because he's actually one of my favorite people on the planet to speak to, and one of the people I've probably spoken with the most, and somehow we're very interested in each other and our own internal weather systems, so we never lack for things to talk about and try and puzzle out the world. He is someone I met at Towpath and can't imagine not knowing, and would not know if he did not show up at the counter one day. He's an incredibly talented artist who actually is able to make a livelihood and a living and a life out of his art. And his work is very often has been sculptural and exists in three-dimensional form, but the current situation in which we all find ourselves is making him go down newer paths and different paths of artistic expression. And I had the good fortune of going to see his work at the Biennale in Venice last year, where he represented Italy.
How do I introduce myself? I don't know. Maybe I should be more explicit about who I am when I introduce myself to people. I am Enrico, I'm an artist.
I have the first thing that I absolutely remember, but it isn't in any way like the first time you came or the first times you came. It was the first year you came, I know you'll remember this.
Yeah.
And it was fireworks night, and you came up to the bar and your eyes were just filled with tears and you said, thank you for this place and for being here. And you had just moved to the side of London.
Yeah.
And it was like beautiful declaration.
Yeah.
And that's what I remember is like the first time. It's weirdly, I think it's like such a bright light that all the softer lights have disappeared, because that's what I remember is my first strong, strong memory of you.
My first grilled cheese sandwich was from here. And I remember feeling like there was a sense of authority about this, the way this grilled cheese sandwich was made. It didn't feel like a bad grilled cheese sandwich, you know.
It wasn't a casual.
It wasn't like, you know, there was some thought had gone into the grill. You know, it was like, right, this place is kind of, you know, it looks quite odd, but it also feels like they know what they're doing. Like, what fascinated me about the Towpath, in a way, was this sort of very precarious nature of it, what felt like a really precarious nature that felt like everything could just be blown away. And I think that was really like, for me, it was very close to the thinking that goes into making work or making art, in that sense of like being resourceful in the face of not very much, in the face of like the little things that you have and you just somehow cobble them together. I mean, that's at least the spirit that I sort of invoke or have used to, you know, be the artist that I am, I guess. But So there was a sense of like affinity with it, which I think came from this thing of like, oh yeah, you're kind of fucked up, really. You know, no, you know, there, you, nobody in their right frame. You couldn't make this up in any other way than if you were a person who is always or is at the edge of like seeing what happened if I surrender to this unraveling and just, you know, ultimately being able to somehow do something with it and not turn it into a misfortune, or, you know, even if it went bad, it would be okay.
But I remember that you said to me once in conversation, and you probably don't remember it, but you sort of said, you are an artist, and the way,
yeah.
And then I was like, I felt like I had like a magic wand, like I'd been knighted by you somehow. I really took it, I don't know, I took it as a compliment, even though I wasn't sure that I even knew what it meant, but.
Yeah, I know you. You know, or you kind of recognize certain things about the people that you meet, and you just feel like you want to sort of see more of that. It doesn't matter whether it's food or thoughts or, I don't know, voices or there's a sort of a creative force.
I think, you know, one of the things that's been so, that keeps me endlessly fascinated, on the one hand, what I do is so much like being on a farm. You know, you've just got to milk that cow every morning, whether you feel like it or not. And there's a lot of it that is quite unromantic and very basic. But that's only the sort of set that then allows me to be in a place where I get to see something like watch a friendship occur or be made, or it's quite like love or something, where you just see two people that recognize something in each other. Like for us, I almost feel like it was because of how we're made and because of Italy. Like there's so much that I almost felt when I met you, like I already knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't even think I can imagine.
Yeah, no,
like
it's true,
when
yeah.
is the first time, because yeah. I've always known you somehow. Yeah. But that thing where you see people have a conversation and then somehow like lean into each other and look at each other with interest, like, I mm-hmm. want to know more about you, or I'm intrigued by how you see the world, to be like a place that facilitates those kind of encounters that are often yes. random encounters that turn into something deeper is like endlessly gets me out there milking the cow every day, because yeah. you just don't know what's going to happen and who, what you're going to see.
There's an out of ordinariness to it, or, you know, like it's not like you could just create a
situation.
Well,
we're not a pit stop on the freeway.
Yes, exactly. And in that sense, it operates very much, which I think it's, you know, it's probably one of the things that deep down connected me to this place in almost like a genetic way. It's a sort of the idea of your local bar in Italy, you know, like where you would just, you know, you don't even think about going there because that is your local bar where you go every day for at least a coffee. And I come from that culture where there is a local wherever you are, you know, there is like, it's almost like a locality that needs to be like, oh yeah, this is where, in a sense, you almost end up becoming friends with people you wouldn't necessarily even want to be friends with, but they are the kind of the frame within which you operate in that world in that moment for the 20 minutes or 5 minutes or hour that you spend there. For me, this had a sense of like innocence, and is outdoors, and so you've got nature, you've got the water, lots of elements that makes it very, very particular in its coordinates, you know, all these lines converging to making this very particular backdrop. Being in a city like London, in this particular landscape, then of course it is inevitable that the towpath becomes almost like a cultural phenomenon in itself, you know, which is kind of interesting because it's the flip side of that very intimate, very somehow insignificant to the rest of the world sort of reality, you know, and then suddenly it's a point in the map. And obviously a bar in Italy doesn't deliver more than a good espresso or, you know, a couple of brioche in the morning. But, you know, so the game is upped and you manage to elevate it to a point of almost stretching it into this other form that is like, yes, it is a local calf, but then we also deliver this incredible food and
we do. And of course, that's thanks to Laura, who just was like, yeah. I'm going to keep pushing the boat out as far.
But the principle of that sort of basic thing, but it's sort of, it's almost like gross. It's almost like a sort of sourdough. It's a sort of sourdough mentality of this place that sort of becomes this, you know, starting from a calf, working behind the counter, you know, like doing your everything in that kind of, in the cauldron. This Russian samovar or whatever, the urn, you know, becomes this thing. And very special creative pursuit that takes to kind of stretch the imagination of thinking, what if we did that? What if we took that language and take it to its maximum extent out of four holes on a wall down a canal side? You know, what could that be? And, you know, if you bear in mind that there is very little to lose, then the world is your oyster. You know, you can just really go to town and have fun with it.
Of course, you're too kind to mention this, but one of the things that happens when you get like totally taken in to the ample bosom of the Towpath family is that you find yourself running errands, getting emergency trays of eggs, emergency everything. And the number of times that Enrico has showed up at the Towpath for breakfast only to find himself saying, like, what? And that's the thing with him. He can take one look. He doesn't even need to say a word to anyone. He's like, what's going on? Fine. And you off you go and run and sort out the disaster and come back then have your breakfast.
The least we can do, yeah. Well, it's a worthy, you know how good you're going to turn that thing out. So it's like, it's worth going and get those eggs, you know, or.
Yeah, but it's also the fact that I know that there would be like no way that you can enjoy your breakfast if you knew, like, I didn't go get them the eggs and I'm sitting here and eating the last two eggs.
Laura going
like this.
Psychotic in the kitchen saying, we ran out of bread. In London, you know, I've been here for like over 30 years, and I just remember having these few moments when you really like recognize the quality of what's being given to you. Some of the dishes here at the Towpath, you'd be like, my God, it's painfully good.
Well,
you know, it kind of hits you somewhere where you're like, oh my God, it's just too much. You know, like Nudi, they're like amazing. Well, Nudi are like this, basically it's like ravioli without the pasta. So you just have these bowls of ricotta with sage and I mean, I don't even there's a lot of parmesan and like it's this sort of,
and yet they're like floating off the plate. It is something
super fluffy, super light, super tasty. The food speaks to parts of some people's sort of souls that are, and I think a lot of people care less about food. I don't know, maybe they just have other
things, have multiple forms of nourishment. And when you eat something that is kind of perfectly executed but soulless, then it's fine. And you go like, that was perfectly fine and I probably won't come back. And when you get nourished in another way, because when I even watch Laura in the kitchen and the way she'll like spoon something over, there's just so much like absorbed focus and caring.
It makes me hungry, actually.
It makes me so nervous if I ever have to bring like a plate back that isn't licked clean and I want to like hide it. I'm thinking, she was a very small person. She ordered a lot of food and Laura will be like, who ate that? What was wrong? What? Why have they not licked the plate clean?
Yeah.
I don't know. What do I want to say? I want to say thank you for this conversation. One of the many to come. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Towpath Recipes and Stories.
This series was made possible by Chelsea Green Publishing, with a special thanks to Rosie Baldwin.
All the recipes talked about in this episode come straight from our cookbook, Towpath Recipes and Stories, which is out everywhere. Our producer is the lovely Hester Kant. Additional sound recording by Alex Katz. And our music is from Sam Amidon's latest album. The track is called Sundown.